Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call of E.I.D. Parry India Limited, hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anmol Garg from DAM Capital Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A warm welcome to the Q4 FY 2022 conference call of E.I.D. Parry Limited. We have with us Mr. Suresh, Managing Director of the company, Mr. Murugappan, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. A. Sridhar, CFO, Mr. Suresh Kannan, Whole-time Director, Parry Sugars, and Mr. Biswa Mohan Rath, Company Secretary. Without any further ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Suresh. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking your time out and joining this call. At the outset, I would like to just announce the happy news that Mr. Muthiah Murugappan has joined us on the board as a Whole-time Director, and he is also the CEO for the business. With that good news, I would like to go ahead with the opening remarks. On the global scenario, the record Indian production has overshadowed the lower output in other countries. For the FY 2021-22, for the sugar year 2021-22, we are expected to be a surplus of almost 1.26 million tons, is what is expected in the global scenario. As per the Zarniko report, what we understand is global per capita sugar consumption has been hit during these pandemic years. It has gone to the levels of 2009. However, it is poised to recover and grow more than 1.5% per annum. China's output is not expected to reach the 10 million metric tons in the current year. This may lead to import of raw sugar. The ongoing Ukraine issues are expected to negatively impact the sugar consumption in Ukraine and Russia. However, the refined sugar demand is expected to be robust, keeping the trade flows balanced. India is expected to export significant volumes in sugar year  2022-23. Of course, we have to keep in mind the record exports which already happened in sugar year 2021-22. According to Platts, the higher global energy prices are supportive for the hydrous ethanol price in Brazil. Brazil may go for lower sugar mill estimates for the Centro-South. That means higher level of sugar diversion to ethanol will happen, and that is also going to happen in India as well. Coming to the performance of the company, the consolidated revenue from operations for the year ended 31st March 2022 was at 23,528 crores rupees, registering an increase of 27% against the previous year of 18,556 crores rupees. Earnings before depreciation, interest, taxes, and exceptional items, EBITDA, for the year ended 31st March 2022 was at 2,629 crores rupees, registering an increase of 18% against previous year of 2,219 crores rupees. The consolidated profit after tax was 1,574 crores rupees against the previous year of 1,000 crores rupees. Coming to the standalone performance for the FY 2021-22, the standalone revenue from operations for the year ended 31st March 2022 was at rupees 2,496 crores against the previous year of rupees 2,024 crores. Earnings before depreciation, interest, taxes, and exceptional items for the year ended was rupees 492 crores against the previous year of 556 crores. Standalone profit after tax was rupees 284 crores against rupees 865 crores in the previous year. The profit after tax for the year ended 31st March 2022 includes exceptional loss of rupees 14 crore arising from sale of plant and machinery in Puducherry unit. as compared to the exceptional gain of rupees 715 crores in the previous year, arising from the sale of 4% stake in Coromandel International Limited, net of impairment and Pudukkottai asset transfer expenses. I must say that the top line of the business, the standalone business, has grown by almost 23% over the previous year. The exceptional performance has been made possible by the increase in the cane volume from a 39.5 lakh tons to a level of almost 50 lakh tons for the year 21-22. Also, the business has been able to capitalize the opportunity in the market by exporting close to 1,72,000 tons of sugar. Our distillery volumes also has grown tremendously from almost 5.9 crores of previous year. For the year FY21-22, we have done almost 8.5 crore liters of distillery volumes. Also, on the power side, we have been able to capitalize on the market opportunities in the power, and that has also contributed well to the business. Company focused on sweating the assets and expansion in core areas, maintaining the optimum cost levels. I have to mention that the transfer of assets from Pudukkottai unit in Tamil Nadu to the Haliyal unit in Karnataka has been completed, and during the year 1.45 lakh metric tons was crushed during the financial year of 21-22. Also, the distillery expansion of 60 KLPD facility in Bagalkot has come online and it has run full. And the debt reduction program, what we had undertaken, has helped in the reduction of finance costs from rupees 93 crores in the year 2021 to 46 crores in the year 21-22. With these comments, I will now hand it over to Mr. Sridhar, our CFO, to take you through further details. Thank you.
Thank you, Suresh, and good afternoon to all the participants. I am extremely happy to be a part of this analyst call to share key information of the operating and financial performance of the company. While Mr. Suresh presented about the industry perspective and the standalone and consolidated financials of the company, I would like to share the key operating parameters of each of the segments in which we are operating. To start with, on the sugar operations, all of our plants operated during quarter four, and the year-to-date crushing was about 50.21 lakh metric tons when compared to last year, which was at 39.69 lakh metric tons. The recovery also has been better than the previous year. The year-to-date recovery was 10.63%. compared to last year, which was at 10.28%. The production volumes were at 4.87 lakh metric tons compared to last year, which was at 3.92 lakh metric tons. The cost of cane was at 3,255 rupees per metric ton compared to the previous year, which was at 3,071 rupees per metric ton. The sales for the year had been about 4.95 lakh metric tons, in which the domestic was about 3.25 lakh metric tons, and we had a record export of almost about 1.70 lakh metric tons. In the previous year, the sales volume were at 4 lakh metric tons, of which domestic was about 2.85 lakh metric tons and exports about 1.15 lakh metric tons. The selling price was at 34.48 compared to previous year, which was at 34 rupees 4 paise. And even in exports, our realizations, as far as the exports are concerned, our realizations were at 33 rupees 46 paise as against 34 rupees 3 paise. This 33 rupees 46 paise is without the subsidy element in the 6 months, the second half of the year. The closing stock was at 2.55 lakh metric tons. The revenue from sugar operations has been at 1,839 lakh crores, and in the previous year it was about 1,500 crores. That is an increase of almost about 23% over the previous year. I'd like to put on record that no cane overdues as of today. All FRP paid on time. As far as the power is concerned, the power generation has been about 4,110 lakh units. Compared to previous year, which was about 3,763 lakh units, and of which the exported units were about 2,141 lakh units, as against the previous year, which was at 2,054 lakh units. The tariff was at 4.35 rupees per unit, against the previous year, which was at 4.15 rupees per unit. We had a gain of almost about 20 paise over the previous year, and on the distillery sales, we sold about 847 lakh liters compared to the previous year, which was at 594 lakh liters, and the selling price was at 57.88 per liter, as against the previous year, which was at 55.42 lakhs. Getting into the Nutra segment, the year-to-date turnover was about 63.62 crores, as against the previous year, which was about 71.74 crores. This reduction is on account of reduced production due to the incremental weather conditions. And on a consolidated level, the Nutra business had increased its revenue compared to previous year. The turnover was at 277 crores compared to the previous year, which was about 255 crores. As far as the refinery operations are concerned, the operating revenue was at 2,005 crores compared to previous year, which was about 2,251 crores, and the PBT is a loss of about 13.27 crores. Last year, the loss was about 138 crores, and the refined sugar production was at 6.11 lakh metric tons, as against the previous year, which was at 7.89 lakh metric tons. And the sales volume of a refinery was at 6.23 lakh metric tons, as against the previous year, which was at 8.21 lakh metric tons. As Mr. Suresh had stated in the beginning, we had worked on debt reduction program during the last few years, and the long-term borrowings, which is about 100 crores, and this is also to do with the projects which we are being executed at Bagalkot, and those which we are also initiated at Sankli. These are the long-term borrowings which we have taken from the bank, and we have a subvention benefit on account of those. The short-term borrowings have almost been nil. And as far as PSRIPL is concerned, the borrowings has been at 648 crores, and this is purely to do with the working capital that was required for the operations. With this, I would like to close, and would like to hear from you all. If there are any questions, we would like to be answering this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and 1 at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Akshay Ajmera from Nirzar Securities LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So regarding this Petavithalai plant, the original plan was to shift the plant from Petavithalai to Bagalkot, and then So it has not happened. So what exactly was the issue of because of which we are not able to shift the plant to Bagalkot? Was there any scarcity of cane availability, or it was not feasible to move the plant? And what was the total realization that we have received by selling of that?
Yeah. The total realization part, Mr. Sridhar will answer you. On the point of the original idea of shifting the assets to Bagalkot, that was envisaged some 2 years back. We did assess the cane availability and the potential competition for the available cane from the nearby mills. If you look at Haliyal, just I'm taking a parallel of Haliyal. Haliyal is a standalone unit. Almost in the nearby 120-kilometer radius, there is no other sugar mill available. So there is plenty of cane availability. Whereas in the case of Bagalkot, quite a large number of mills are available, and new capacities are also getting added. So in the light of that, plus the certain areas of Bagalkot also have certain low sugar varieties also available. Farmers prefer more of low sugar variety due to certain other pest-related challenges over there. So if you have to be choosy, then we may have to ignore those low sugar varieties. If you are going to put invest there over there, we'll be scrambling for cane, because Karnataka, though there is availability of command area of concert, in practice, it is not getting followed. So you need to get assured quantum of cane when I am going to put an investment over there, which was there in Haliyal, hence we transferred the Pudukkot assets to Haliyal. In the case of Bagalkot, where we did not have that level of assurance and certainty in the availability of cane, we better thought that whatever the assets available at Peta can be monetized, and they can be put to productive use for a better return on the capital employed. Hence, the reason to sell the assets off. And in terms of the realization, what we got out of the assets is almost 57.5 crores for the equipment.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And for the plant and machinery.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So on the ethanol side, although we have commendable volumes and we have grown significantly, but if we talk about realizations per liter, it has gone down as compared to last year. So how would we see that?
ethanol. See, the realization of the alcohol as a weighted average has gone down. For the ethanol, whatever is the government realization, it has gone up. The mix is also there between ENA and ethanol. ENA prices have dropped last year compared to the previous year. Hence, we are seeing a relatively lower weighted average realization for alcohol.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue for the next question.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Chheda from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. So if you can share the refinery debt number and the refinery inventory separately, what are the gross borrowings and cash there?
Good afternoon. As far as refinery is concerned, we had a closing debt of 648 crores, corresponds to around 1.2 lakh tons of raw sugar and around 50,000 tons of white sugar inventory.
648 crores. Okay. This includes term debt and working capital debt, right, sir?
The term debt is 200 crores separate. The 648 is a working capital debt.
Okay. Term debt is 200 crores and working capital is 648. Okay. And right now, what are the steady-state numbers there in terms of how much is the conversion cost there and premiums overall?
At the moment, as you can appreciate, we are in a very inflationary scenario as far as both fuel, chemicals, packing material is concerned. So our refining costs have moved up compared to the previous years. And to a large extent, this increase is also seen in the market in the form of improvement of spreads. So we could have a lag or a lead effect with respect to the inflationary fuel increase vis-a-vis the, what we can require out of the market.
And what are the currently, if you can share the spreads?
Yeah, currently we are between $50 to $60, depending upon the market conditions that are prevailing now.
Spread of $50 to $60, okay. Okay. And regarding nutraceutical, what's the outlook there? When can you scale that numbers and how the profitability will improve in that segment, because there hasn't been substantial improvement in profitability there. So what's the roadmap there?
So on the Nutra segment, I think the standalone numbers were impacted because of bad weather, because of the monsoon season, and that had an impact on the harvest. So that's why the standalone was badly impacted. We have taken some corrective measures from the plant infrastructure perspective, so we don't see that recurring this year. In terms of the balance of business, which is the business in the U.S., I think we'll continue to invest in the brand building activities of the Flomentum product, which is the prostate health brand, this year as well. So to that extent, there will be a burn. I think we will start seeing those numbers scale from next year onwards, and I think we'll then get back into profitability.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'll come back for more questions here.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gautam Dedia from Nalanda Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, so just continuing on the previous participant's question. So at $50 to $60 spreads in the refinery, and with coal costs that are ranging between $300 to $400, on a yearly basis, do you think we can break even?
I think fair question. With the current levels of spread, and as long as we can continue to source this from India, coal has started giving up a little bit in terms of the increases that what we have seen. So it is possible to produce break even or slightly favorable results as far as refining is concerned.
So, I mean, this quarter, whatever profit we have made, there's no one-off, right? And there's no M2M gains or any foreign exchange gains?
Yeah, as far as the fourth quarter profit is concerned, it has got an element of forex gain, because that gain, because of the nature of the contract, accrues to us in the fourth quarter. So if you discount that also, the quarter is profitable to the extent of around 13 to 14 crores.
Okay. So, and on the nutraceutical division, so Flomentum would be what proportion of the prostate sales that you've shown in the presentation?
Oh, it's very negligible. I think the prostate sales this year, we've talked about 120 odd crores. Is negligible. It's a new brand. It's only been launched a year ago, so it's in the very early stages. So I think at the right time we'll start giving you. I think we are of course seeing the data on a very consistent basis. But at the right time we'll start opening that up as well for your better understanding. Once we also have a good idea of the trends.
Okay. So, and in the retail sugar division, you mentioned that you want to target 1 lakh outlets by FY25. So currently, how many outlets are we targeting?
So I think so our current coverage is, direct coverage is slightly under 30,000 outlets. Indirect will be about close to 50,000 outlets. When indirect, I mean of wholesale coverage will also reach a larger number of outlets. I think the 1 lakh outlet target, we aspire to do it before FY25. I think by FY25, I think we need to be substantially larger if we are really going to build a business, sizable business vertical out of this. So I think by FY25, that number should be much larger.
And just aspirationally, would it be fair to assume that if we are like 250 crores in retail sales right now, we are looking at 3x the size just based on the outlet coverage? Or is it something substantially more?
So I think that's a fair, it's a fair milestone. So I think as we promised, we started opening up the retail story a little bit to the to the investor community. So I think as we go, you know, we will provide more granular detail. But I think, Gautam, that's a fair milestone to have.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jatin from Invest Savvy Portfolio Management. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the great results. We wanted to know that what, you know, this your operating margin has improved. Now, is that going to continue to be sustainable, or what is the reason for that change happening? And the other is, how do you foresee revenues growing in the year going forward?
The second part of the question, can
you see revenue growth?
How do you see revenue growth?
See, for a type of business like us, predominantly in the sugar, the better operating margins have been predominantly due to the increased cane volume for the given level of fixed assets what we have. So we have moved up almost from 39.5 lakh tons to 50 lakh tons. Some of the benefits of that are already shown into the current year. The incremental molasses and all will give the benefit in the already shown in the last year, and the incremental whatever the benefits out of the extra cane will be flowing in the current financial year. So you can expect that definitely a similar or better margins to persist for the current financial year as well.
And what about revenue projections?
Yeah, yeah. We expect close to almost around 8 to 10% of increase in cane volume growth, roughly, based on the availability of cane, given the predictions what the monsoon and all is giving. If everything goes well, that's what should be. It will be purely a volume gain, plus the value addition and all should add to the key incremental. Hello.
Any other questions?
Thank you, sir.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritwik from One Up Financial Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon, sir. Sir, I have a few questions. Firstly, just continuing with the cane growth, what would be our peak crushing output on this 40,000 tons per day capacity?
You can take it up to almost 20% up from the current level minimum.
20% from the current level, okay. So that would be a maximum crushing days of about 180 days. Would that be a fair understanding?
Yeah, you can take that, but weather permitting, etc. These are all linked to the cane availability and the weather.
Right, okay. And you mentioned that 8 to 10% cane crushing can be expected depending on the cane procurement for FY23.
Right.
Sure, okay. And my next question is on the Sankli distillery, which is a green-based capacity which is coming up. What could be the total potential output from this distillery? Yeah.
So almost 3.6 crore liters should get added to the distillery volumes on an annual basis.
Okay, and part of it we can realize in FY23 and fully in FY24.
No, this is for FY23 will be an equivalent of say 3 months.
3 months. Okay. Sure. And sir, right now we are doing about 10-11% margin in the distillery segment on the existing capacity. With this new capacity, what do you think, will the margin be higher or at par with the current distillery margins?
Distillery margin is a function of the molasses cost and your whatever the price of ethanol or ENA which is prevailing in the market.
Sure.
So, depending on the, this is a grain-based distillery, we'll be producing more of ethanol. So, that will be governed by the price of the OMC in terms of the ethanol and also the FRP prices of the government for the cane. So there will be a normal derivative of these two parameters. That is what is going to be the distillery margin. Our costs are definitely for a higher sized distillery. The costs will be accordingly there. And I think the margin should by and large minimum maintain that level of the existing. Maybe wherever possible, that could be an opportunity to improve.
Okay, sure. Sir, and just one last question. Is it possible to give the FY22 revenue and EBITDA figures for the refinery business?
Yeah, 1 minute, sir.
Sure.
We have already posted that in the website, but I would like to read it for you. The revenue has been... $269 million, and EBIT has been about 4.7 million dollars.
$4.7 million.
Right.
And does this include any one-off? You mentioned there was some four.
Not in this financial year. In FY22, there is no one-off.
Okay, sure. And one follow-up on this, you know, a strategic question. In the last few years, we have faced some challenges on the refinery business. So, you know, have we or even the board have actively considered to hive off this business? Because on a capital employed of 900 to almost 1,000 crores, we are making negligible return on the capital employed. So you know, is there any active consideration or any discussion internally to divest this business? Would like some thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think, you know, this was also discussed, I think, in one of the prior investor calls. So these kind of conversations are always going on. We don't have anything concrete to report. I think should we have anything concrete, we certainly keep you all
appraised. Okay. Sure, sir. Thank
just a small clarification. You mentioned on the capital employed. Capital employed on the refinery segment is around 500 odd crores, so not 700 or 1,000. So currently we are at between 6 to 7% return on capital.
Okay. Yeah. Because in the initial comments you mentioned that 650 crores is the short term debt and 200 odd crores is the long term debt, so around
the debt position, we find that the borrowings, the long term debt was about 200 crores, that's more of a term loan, and the short term working capital loan is about 648 crores.
Right.
That had gone up substantially in the month of March because our turnover increased, our sales was higher during that month.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best for the year.
Right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Goswami from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on the good set of numbers. My first question on the recovery in Karnataka, how has been the recovery so far in this season? And going forward, how much recovery are you going to expect in the next rest of the season and the next season as well?
See, as far as Karnataka is concerned, the recovery has been in the range of, for the current season, in the range of around 11.1% to 12.1%. Maybe plants like Haliyal was around 11.1%, and the plant in Ramdur is around 12.1%, Bagalkot is somewhere in between. And if the current season crushing has to be taken as a reference, and if you have a span of season running from mid-October to mid-March, I think we should be able to expect a similar level of recovery for the next year as well.
Okay, sir. And did we export any sugar from our domestic plants to refinery unit this time in quarter four?
There is opportunity, yes.
How much volume, sir, this time?
See, last year we had exported close to 172,000 tons. Right? Like that, we are limited with the release quota in terms of sales in domestic. So any opportunity subject to the refinery margins getting fulfilled, we should be able to, and also EAD also getting a better realization for the stocks, so we should be able to do that.
Okay. And so what I understand, your refinery profit this time was about EBIT, I'm talking about, EBIT would be about 30 crores, correct me if I'm wrong. And you said there is a one-off forex gain about 13 to 14 crores. So that would be about quarter four. Or how, what is the profit without the forex gain? About 16 crores, is it?
No, you're right. The EBIT for the refinery for the whole year is 36 crores. The forex gain is basically a structural gain because we are operating the dollar as a functional currency and we are sourcing some of the debt in the form of Indian rupee. So the settled gain accrues to us towards the end of the year, and therefore it is not a one-off gain. It is part and parcel of the business. So yeah, I hope that clarifies the question.
Okay. Okay. And so we are expanding our 120 KLPD display capacity. Since we have a room for, you know, increasing our crushing capacity, why are we putting our grain-based capacity and why not a molasses-based?
So this 120 KLPD is a new plant. This is in Sankli, Andhra. One is, this is a grain belt. Second is, the cane availability is for a period of almost December to March. So 4 months is the cane availability period. So you run on the 4 months from the cane, whatever is available in the form of syrup. And for the whatever the bee molasses which is generated, you will run for 2 more months. After that, it is not economically viable to buy molasses and then run the distillery. Grain is always available throughout the year. So wherever possible, we should go and buy the grain and then run the plant in the grain form. This also gives a different protection for the distillery in the event of any cane shortage in any particular year. The grain is anyway available. So the refinery can run all through the year without any stoppage for want of raw material.
Okay. So I am to understand about, you said about 3.6 crore liters. So around 50 to 60% would be syrup and bee heavy molasses. Am I right on this? On a tentative note, sir?
No, you can make it out of the 10 months of running, let us say 300 days. You can take around 5 months will be on syrup, and 2 months maybe on the bee heavy. 3 months equivalent will be on the grain.
Okay. So around 60-70% could be volume could be from molasses based.
Yes, sir.
Juice and molasses.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And sir, what is our distillery volume target for FY23 and 24?
Volume
target. Below 11 crore liters.
Roughly, we should do that somewhere around 11 crore liters.
And 24.
24 should add another at least 1 or 2 crore liters because the Sankli is going to come full year for the subsequent year.
14. Okay, sir, I'll join back in with you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. Can you help us understand what is the mix in terms of?
So we lost his line, so shall we move to the next question in the meanwhile?
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay Ajmera from Nirzar Securities LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again, sir. So have we sold sugar from standalone EID to the refinery also this year?
Yes, we have sold it.
How much of it, sir? Is that export quantity is the quantity that we have sold to the refinery?
Almost around 80-85,000 tons must have been shipped to the refinery.
Okay. And sir, if we look at the Q4 number of standalone sugar, the revenue has increased from, you know, last year, if we compare YOY number from 400 crores to the revenue has become 700 crores. However, the segment results show that the PBIT at PBIT level, it is still at the same level. So how should we read it?
Can I answer? Yeah, 1 minute. See, our costs are normalized over a period of 12 months. So, I mean, the optimization actually happens during the months in which we produce. So when we, depending on the stocks that is available with us, the valuation of the profitability also changes. So the stock adjustment could be one of the reasons for the normalization which happens on the bottom line, which gets spread over the subsequent periods.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon and congratulations once again for a good set of numbers. I had again a question on the lines of some of the participants earlier. We had a large jump in the sugar revenue and I can understand that the cane cost has gone up a little bit this year. But the profitability of the sugar division hasn't gone up despite an increase in the price realization of nearly 50 paisa on an average. So I just wanted to know what is the inventory being valued at what valuation is inventory being held at as of 31st March?
As of 31st March, the inventory is valued around 31 rupees 90 paise.
Okay. So that's in line. So basically, despite crushing volume going up by 25%, and the inventory change is not really reflecting the kind of volume and sales data. So is it partially because we have sold sugar to the refinery at lower realization? Is that possible?
No. Our export sales is based on the international prices that is prevailing on the day in which we enter into a contract. And we normally enter into a contract on those dates where actually the realizations are the best. So there, it has got nothing to do with the transfer price or the price at which we sell to refinery. It is based on the, it is on an arm's length basis and based on the international prices prevailing on the date of contract.
Right. It is almost a 50% jump in the raw material cost. So I was just wondering, the cane price increase is just about 10 paisa. And then there will be the volume increase of about 25%. But the RM price increase is much more than that.
Yeah. Tamil Nadu government had announced, has withdrawn the transport subsidy. That is one reason we could not, our cane prices went up.
See, one more thing you should keep in mind is that the volume of crush which has happened in the last quarter, the benefit of that in terms of molasses, bagasse, etc. will flow in the subsequent year. Because we will not be able to monetize the byproduct benefits in the same period. In fact, incidentally, the Q4 of current year has crushed significantly more volumes compared to the Q4 of the previous year. Practically, the entire quantity will be sitting in stock, whether it is sugar at a better recovery, or whether it is molasses, or whether it is bagasse or further matter anything. Hence, you may not be able to get the benefit of the last financial year. That should subsequently flow in the next financial year. Added to that is the impact of 15 crores, what our CFO was saying about the transport subsidy, which was there in the FY 2021, which has been since withdrawn for FY 21-22.
FRP increase.
So, FRP increase impact is also there.
Right. So, would you be able to give me the closing inventories of other than sugar as well, molasses and bagasse, the figure?
Yeah, one.
We will share that information with you.
Okay. So, so that was actually the main question I had, because the jump in the sugar turnover, how to read it? In terms of profitability going forward, it's going to partially impact in 1Q. Is that what you're saying? So one.
Yes. I mean, as I mentioned to you earlier, being the seasonal
industry with 5 months of production, the inventory holding and the carrying cost gets spread over in the subsequent periods.
Right, sir. And my second question was, sir, you in your cash flow statement in the standalone business, you mentioned the 200 crore repayment by subsidiary in terms of intercorporate loan. So I understand that was the loan given to the refinery business. So even after that repayment, there is a 200 crore term debt. Is that correct?
Very true. Yes. With refineries, there is a 200 crore term loan still due from there.
Right. And that 680 crore working capital position, like what is, how do we read it going forward? Is it going to come down substantially this quarter?
This quarter. Is it for EAT Paddy is what you are asking, or is it for refinery?
Paddy refinery.
Refinery, just a minute.
Yeah, as far as the refinery is concerned, one of the reasons, as what Mr. Sridhar earlier explained, one of the reasons for increase in the short-term loan is also on account of price increase. Sugar prices, as you may recall, have gone up by close to 30-35% on an average on a year-on-year basis. However, we are working in terms of better turnaround cycle. So I think we might be in a position to move between 400 to 500 crores of short-term debt.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parin Gala from Sage One Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hold, after moving that loan from Tamil Nadu, Pudukkottai to Haliyal, and also one held for sale, and some other land that we might hold. So how much is that surplus kind of land that we would be holding in the company, and what are the plans with that kind of surplus land?
See, the process of disposal of machinery is on in the Petavai Phalik plant. We have just concluded the sale deal, and the process itself will take almost 6 to 9 months time. After that only we will be looking at the opportunity for monetizing the land.
But how much would be the land bank, sir, with us? Surplus land bank?
Land bank? We'll just get back to you.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all for my time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Maheshwari from Premji Invest. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you so much for the opportunity and thanks for the comprehensive presentation. So just one question on slightly 2 to 3 year outlook. Looking at ROC targets for the business, I understand that there are multiple moving parts in the business as well as the refinery piece. But just overall, when we look at say 7% ROC targets for the refinery business, how do you think about it from a medium-term perspective, especially when our subsidiaries passing on money at a very high ROC, generating high ROCs and passing out on as dividends? So just wanted your thoughts on how you will think about it. Thanks.
So can you just repeat that question? So the question is on the refinery ROC, is it?
No, it's on the overall ROC. We understand that refinery can be more or less, but at a standalone level, is there a ROC targets, especially when we typically been generating strong ROC at a subsidiary level, and when that comes on, it needs to be passed on as dividends or whatever the way you think about the business going forward. So just wanted to understand the overall capital allocation strategy the team is working with today.
Okay, so I'm seeing a number of questions in within your question. So let me address the ROC first. So I think the from current levels, yes, the aspiration is to move up, and I think we are confident of the visibility on that front. I think the work that we've done in terms of relocation of plants, in terms of better recoveries, in terms of volumes of cane crush, in terms of the tailwinds from the ethanol blending program, I think all of that will lead to a better metrics. And I think we certainly see. We don't give forward guidance, but we're seeing a good good scope there in terms of incremental ROCEs, and we'd like to get to industry standards, at least the best in class industry standards. So in terms of the broader capital allocation strategy, so I think you know, we'll see us allocating more capital towards growth areas. I think the whole biofuels program is a growth area. I think we've allocated capital to that. You see us setting up a distillery. In terms of, you know, moving of assets into higher recovery zones, we've done that by moving Pudukkote into the Hariyar unit. Beyond that, I think you've seen some of our data on the retail and the retail growth. I think that's another area which the capital allocation, as mentioned, we need to get way beyond 1 lakh outlets. I think, you know, and to have a good detailed playbook, I think we need to be north of 2 lakh outlets. So that will be capital allocation. And we are taking sort of some deeper understanding of the Nutra segment to see what the growth areas can be. And I think once we have done that, I think that's another area where we will allocate resources. So I think this is where the company capital allocation will be centered around in the years to come.
Got it, sir. This is helpful. But just in terms of the standalone business today, we'll be able to generate strong cash flows going by all the initiatives that you've taken up. Will that be sufficient to fund it, or we would continue to look at deploying capital in form of subsidy that we receive from our subsidiary as well?
No, so I think it will be largely from internal accruals. I mean, yeah, I think as we deploy capital, we will determine what is the best construct of that deployment. But I think we're confident. I think for the reasons stated just a few minutes ago, we should see you know, better internal accruals in the business itself.
Fair enough. This is very helpful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Sancheti, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, sir.
Yes.
Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Just wanted to know, what is the realization for ethanol, especially from syrup, PAV, CAV and ENA? In this quarter,
the BHEV realizations were at 58 rupees 7 paise, and syrup was about 63 rupees 27 paise, and CAV was at around 47.
47?
Yeah, that's right.
And what about ENA?
ENA was at around 56 rupees.
56 rupees. I think in one of the previous questions you had said that the ENA prices have fallen down. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. Compared to the previous year.
To the previous year. Okay. What was the, can you just tell me the quantum of the fall, or how much was it previous year?
Previous year was about 61 rupees.
61 rupees. And this has been all over India, or only in the southern market?
It was more in Tamil Nadu.
Predominantly,
the ENA is sold more in Tamil Nadu, where there has been a lot of inflow of the ENA from the neighboring states that has led to the fall in the price.
Okay. So are we looking at, you know, setting up ENA plus like something like a state of West Bengal, where the ENA prices are higher than even the, I mean, ethanol prices? Are we looking for something like that, setting up ENA plant in future?
Sir, actually, the raw material for the plant will have to be molasses. Unlike ethanol, where you can even have grain, predominantly it is from molasses if you make. You need to have enough cane sourcing availability. So
okay.
In the absence of that, we may not be looking at that.
Yeah, and I can see that the profitability of the distillery plant has been excellent. So, and we are also looking at almost a increasing our capacity by more than 100 KLPD, 110 KLPD. Are we in future, are we looking for any more expansion plans?
See, further expansion plans, because already this, for the financial year, we have got the 120 KLPD at Sankri. We will have to see the opportunity in terms of cane availability. Every sugar unit can have its distillery, for example, Pugalur, or for example, maybe additional in Nellikuppam. We have to only evaluate the sustained cane availability for the next 3 to 5 year time frame. Because for a typical ethanol project to pay back, it takes 4 to 5 years. Once you see an assured cane availability, then you should, and also the government's policies continuation in terms of ethanol blending, then we should we'll be in a better position to take the call on future investments. As Muthu was pointing out, those are the high margin areas. But if there is an assurance in terms of the raw material availability and also the market for it, then definitely we'll be looking at that.
So then what about is ethanol which is being produced with from grains, especially rice, broken rice? Are we looking into getting into that?
In fact, for Andhra plant, the Sankri plant 120 KLPD is also designed with the molasses as well as the grain as a feedstock. So already we are looking into that. At present, we are not looking at putting a plant exclusively based on grain.
Okay. Because I think the availability of that raw material will be far easier than, getting sugar cane.
Always it is green the other side. So that is a... So you have to evaluate the thing. It's better to have multi-feed stock for us at any point in time. That can mitigate the risk in a better way.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupam Goswami from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So my question is that going forward, where is the room for improvement in the margin? Is there at all, is there? And my second question is that have we exhausted our opportunity of distillery capacity expansion in Haliyal? Because Haliyal now has a crushing capacity of 12,000 TCD. And as you mentioned that the cane availability is better than the rest of the areas. So... But we have only 50 KLPD of distillery in Haliyal. So can we look in any more expansion in Haliyal to exhaust the distillery opportunity there?
See, Haliyal, I think this year we should allow the second plant to perform to the fullest, get the full mileage out of it, then continuously explore the opportunity to top up another distillery over there. That's what we will be doing. We'll have to see how this all transpires because last year only we invested close to almost 120-130 crores into the Haliyal plant. So we'll phase it out accordingly based on the opportunity.
And so going forward, what is the room for margin improvement in our business or all business like sugar refinery and distillery? And nutraceuticals.
Yeah, in a business, in fact, all the businesses what you have mentioned with so many factors which are beyond the control of the business, continuous margin improvement only has brought the business to these levels what you are seeing in terms of results. And definitely there are opportunities, but the thing is we are talking about improving from here on. So continuous cost reduction opportunities will be explored and we will be looking at it in the years to come.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much, everyone, for taking time out and then joining this call. and we will be meeting you in the 3 months from now in the next call. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.